Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. But yeah, this is the shining gem of the adaptations. Honestly, it's only above average in terms of just, you know, how much fun it is. But there is so much ambition on display here, even if it's underdeveloped because of the budget and the time you're given to make a licensed game. That's going to sell no matter what. Mm-hmm. But it really reminds me of the great and better Tiny Toons game Buster Bust Loose for the Super Nintendo, where it's very short, much shorter than this, but it has so many cool ideas in it, so many cool gameplay ideas, to the point where, like, one of the levels is you're playing a football game for no reason.
I think both of them, Buster Bust Loose and this game, it also had the encouraging feel of like, oh, developers on this, somebody had favorite episodes of this,
yes,
and wanted to turn those episodes into levels instead of just saying, like, instead of just looking at a character Bible saying, okay, that's the five villains, and we can just reuse some old concepts for stuff.
Yeah, just make a bunch of platforming levels he can run through until he fights the villain that's obligatory to include in this. But yeah, they really get the show because they definitely have seen it, because, you know, Batman the Animated Series, it's just a vehicle to tell very different types of stories. There are so many different types of stories that are told throughout the show, and they were like, our version of this that's interactive is we're going to give you a bunch of different gameplay styles. So it's not just a straightforward platformer action game like the Batman NES game or Return of the Joker. You do get standard action levels, but you also get platforming challenges. You get stages focused on more exploration and freeing hostages. You get a racing stage. You get a level where you're just chasing down Catwoman and exploring mazes and answering riddles and things like that. They really are trying to do the most they can. Honestly, they're probably trying too much with the amount of time and money they're given, but it always impressed me as a kid to see it wasn't just giving you, oh, just run from left to right and fight the Joker at the end, that's it.
A thing that I really appreciated about this game, I mean, first of all, it's gorgeous.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. It looks like it could come out today.
Like, yes, if someone was making a 2D game today.
First of all, it rewards you for being a fan of it. Like, I think they use the same riddles in the Riddler episode.
Yeah, they're the exact same riddles. So yeah, the if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? Is that the Minotaur part of that episode is just adapted kind of literally into the game.
It's perfect, yeah.
But also, like, it gives you the choice at the start of each level, like, what equipment you're going to take. And that's, like, the first thing in a video game that kind of makes you, you know, it's the thing we all said about Arkham Asylum when it came out, like, makes you feel like Batman, right? Like, you know, if you're going to go fight the Scarecrow, you need to take the gas mask, you know, like that's got to be on the list of things you take.
This actually comes closest to Arkham in terms of nailing Batman in that, yes, you have access to your full utility belt. You can decide what to bring. Honestly, when I was replaying this, I was like, I'll just bring everything every time. But the punishment for that is, like, you're cycling through items while you're playing. And if you bring everything, it takes longer to cycle through your items. So it's kind of like a time punishment. It makes it less things less accessible because you're taking longer to get to them. But yeah, if you can see the villain, and even Alfred will tell you, like, Master Bruce, I think you might want to bring this with you. There are choices you can make. And yeah, I feel like the next game we'll be talking about, it's like, yeah, there's a jump button and an attack button. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what Batman does.
And there's so much dialogue in this that really impressed me. I wish I only played the Genesis one. I didn't play the Super NES one. I really regret it after watching this. Like, I'm also impressed that so many of the boss fights that I saw, you know, in the Game Boy one, I don't want to say easy road, but it is easier to, like, well, how's Batman gonna fight the Joker? Well, Joker has, like, a giant robot with weak points, and you punch him until it's dead. But in this one, it's like, no, remember that cool scene when Batman fights the Joker on a roller coaster that's moving. Well, we did that, and it's just Batman fighting a human-sized guy. Like most superhero games, most brawler action type games did not have you fighting bosses that were the same size as you. Like that just wasn't the design style back then for most video games.
Yeah, that's a very impressive level, because when you get on that roller coaster, you're like, all right, it's a minecart stage, whatever. And then as you get further across the tracks, the camera spins around to the front of the roller coaster cars. Very hard to do on a Super Nintendo, by the way, so it's technically impressive. And then the Joker appears and you're like fist fighting him.
Yeah.
It's so neat.
And same with, like, you know, fighting the Scarecrow on a biplane, like on the wings of a biplane. That is very unexpected. Even then, they, like, clearly somebody loved, and because it's perfect, I know why they love it, but in Mask of the Phantasm, Joker's jetpack design is one of my favorite, like, drawings of the Joker ever, and that's, yeah, like, one of his final forms at the end of the game.
All of the boss fights have their own unique flavor. Like, you know, the Joker on the roller coaster, the Scarecrow on the airplane, like, there's, you know, you have to fight the giant floating head of the Riddler who's trying to kill you on a chessboard, which is the most Batman thing you can do. It's thoughtful, mm-hmm, I think, is the word I would use. And that's much like Batman the Animated Series. Like you said, it didn't have to be. Like, it could have just been whatever. It could have just been, you know, Batman for the NES. But someone thought about it, and I appreciate that.
Definitely. There's a lot of cool choices in this, too. Like, we talked about, you know, you can decide what equipment you want to bring. There's also some interesting choices they made, not just for the sake of, you know, censorship or whatever, but when I started Poison Ivy's level, I'm like, why can't I punch anymore? What's going on? Is my controller broken? Then I went to GameFAQs. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And it says, there are female enemies in this, and Batman won't punch them in the face. And you're like, okay, I have to, like, mace them to knock them out. Mm. And then they do that later when the Scarecrow, like, poison gasses everybody, or Scarecrow grasses them. You can't punch the bystanders. You have to, like, mace them out. So there are some fun little twists in there that you don't normally see in a game of this vintage.
Compare that to the Arkham games, where Batman, like, cripples everybody at every turn. It's like, it's a pretty, a very brutal Batman comparatively.
The interrogations in those games are just like, he's broken so many bones, mm-hmm, so,
yes,
many teeth.
But all of those people stand around talking about how much they love to do crimes.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
my favorite thing about those games.
Yes. Everyone has the most eavesdroppable conversations in the world.
There's a bit in Arkham Origins where the crooked cops are making homeless people, like, fight. Like fight each other, and they're videotaping it. And there's one piece of dialogue that's just a cop going, I hate the homeless. And then you, like, swoop down and beat them up. And I'm like, that is perfect.
You beat them up
for certain definitions of perfect.
You beat them up for two on the nose dialogue. Sorry, Henry.
Yeah. No. In all those games, they have to, because Batman can really only, he can save people who he's not going to beat up. But if you are a guy walking around in the open world of the Arkham games, you have to be able to be beaten up by Batman unless he's going to save you. So everybody has to be evil. So to justify the horrible beating, yes, Batman will put on them.
Yeah. That game is like, that series is fun, but it's just like, I'll land by a guy, I'm like, why is he hostile? He just was hanging out by a garbage can.